My big health focus has been drink more water, get basic exercise, reduce your stress, and perhaps most important, better sleep and more sleep. You don't want to lay in bed where you can't sleep. I use thetrustedlab.com. Thetrustedlab.com comes directly to your home. I don't want to be involved with addictive drugs and medicine and all that. Completely healthy, completely natural, and I get results. Thetrustedlab.com.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
If you're not intermittent fasting, somebody else around you is. It is the hot thing these days, and folks are seeing incredible results. The undisputed expert guru on the matter is Dr. Jason Fung. He shot to national and international prominence back in 2016 with a book called The Obesity Code, which if you have not read, you should. That's where he came to my attention. But last year, probably January of this year, I read his book, Life in the Fasting Lane, and it should be required reading for everyone, whether you intend to fast or not, because it's a great primer in how our body works. We're either feasting or fasting and the periods of time in between and what effects that has and all those sorts of things. Dr. Jason Fung, it's a real honor to have you on, sir.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
You are a Canadian nephrologist. How did you get into intermittent fasting? I've read the book. I know the answer, but I'd like you to tell us.
Yeah, so I deal with kidney disease predominantly, and probably the most common reason for kidney disease is type 2 diabetes. And the thing about type 2 diabetes is that it's a reversible disease, and if you lose weight, very often that diabetes reverses. So as a kidney specialist, I was seeing a lot of people with sort of the end-stage kidney disease and going on to dialysis and so on, and it struck me as it would be much better to try and prevent the disease rather than to treat it afterwards, because it's very unsuccessful when you treat it afterwards. So the key then was that if you didn't have diabetes, you couldn't get diabetic kidney disease. And in order to reverse that type 2 diabetes, you had to lose weight. So that was why I got very interested about 8 or 9 years ago in how to get people to lose weight, because it's a difficult thing to do. And I hadn't learned a lot about it in medical school and so on. So I really dove deep into the research, and it struck me as fairly sometimes ridiculous that what I had been taught and what I had, thought was the answers, which was just cutting calories and so on, was really, it sounded like it would work, but it just didn't work. Like, millions of people have done it. I've done it. Probably everybody listening has done calorie counting, and it really doesn't work for an extended period of time. And the data really bore it out as like 90%+ failure rates, like 95-99% failure rates. So the point is that I needed to do something different if I wanted to help my patients. And then one of the things that I really thought about very hard was sort of the hormones and how our body gains weight and loses weight. And it struck me as one of the most effective things you can do is to just not eat, which is intermittent fasting. And at the time, which was 2012, 2013, everybody thought it was a terrible idea. They sort of knew that you had to eat 10 times a day. But when you start to look at the history, you realize that people never used to eat 8-10 times a day. Snacking was not common because you didn't have these processed convenient foods. You didn't have fast food everywhere. If you wanted to eat, you had to go to your kitchen and cook it. So if you're working, you just couldn't do that, right? So we went from sort of the 1960s and 70s, because that's a time where, there's not a lot of obesity, where people are eating sort of 3 meals a day, to now where you're eating sort of 6 times a day, breakfast, mid-morning snack, and then lunch, and then afternoon snack, and then dinner, and then after-dinner snack. So 6 to 8 times a day. And we thought that eating so many times a day was actually healthy for us, whereas this had never been really tried before. So that's where I started to think, well, you know, if you take that to sort of the next level, then what about eating even less than that? What if you eat two times a day or once a day? And again, people said that all these nasty things would happen to you. But again, it's not like a new idea. People have been fasting for thousands and thousands of years. It's in every major religion. It's in the Bible. So therefore, you know it's at least 2,000 years old, right? So if it's that old and there is something wrong with skipping a meal here and there, like, we would have figured it out, like, thousands of years ago. So when you look at the physiology of what happens to our body, there's really nothing wrong with not eating. When you eat, your body will tend to store those calories, and one of the ways that we store calories is body fat. When you don't eat, like when you're fasting, which is any period of time that you're not eating, then your body is going to use those calories, and that's natural. That you're basically using your body fat for exactly the reason that you're storing it. So why not do that? Like, this excess body fat, which was making people have type 2 diabetes, which was giving them heart attacks and strokes and kidney disease and blindness and amputations, you could actually let your body, your own body, naturally burn off those stores of calories, and you would get healthy. So this was a tremendous way that you could do this without being too complicated. Like, diets are fine, but they can be complicated. Oh, eat this, don't eat this, and don't eat that, right? It's simply don't eat and let your body use your body's stores. And interestingly, there's all sorts of other health benefits to it. Hunger tends not to be a problem if you do it correctly. So I started using it in patients, and the results were just incredible. When people stopped eating so frequently, you know, they lost a lot of body weight, and a lot of times that type 2 diabetes just completely reversed, and, you know, people got healthy again. It was just tremendous. So that's when I started to write about it and blog about it, and that's where the book came from. And, of course, by that, you know, by 2016, I had been talking about intermittent fasting, and then it started to get very popular around 2018, 2019. So luckily, a lot of people have sort of figured out that, hey, there's not really that anything wrong physiologically with not eating. There's no actual reason. You couldn't go more than a couple hours without eating, which was sort of the teaching, like that was sort of the conventional wisdom up to about 2017, that you had to eat every 2 hours in order to lose weight. And it makes no sense. Like, why would eating make you lose weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, food is going in. It's not, energy is not coming out. So eating cannot make you lose weight. Yet somehow we believe that we have to eat 8 times a day to lose weight. It was just sort of just faintly ridiculous.
Dr. Fung, if you can hold with me for just a moment, we'll record during the break as well so we can maximize our time together. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Jason Fung. The questions that I'm already receiving from folks that I hear all the time is, I don't think I can go that long without eating, and is that healthy to do so? But, you know, it's funny, having lost 70 pounds, when I was 240 and fat, nobody said to me, man, you should maybe not gain any more weight because you've gotten fat. When I dropped 70 pounds, that's enough. It's starting to get unhealthy. You don't need to worry about the guy that's 6 foot tall and 170. You need to worry about the guy that's 240. I am 6 foot. Shut your mouth. I am. You know what? You're not 6 foot, and that's your hang up about it. I'm 6 foot. Absolutely, I'm 6 foot. Absolutely. I have bad posture, but I'm 6 foot. Please do not. I'm having a great day. We're talking to Dr. Jason Fung, one of my heroes, and you're bringing me down. Don't bring me down.
The Michael Berry Show continues.
I have a buddy named Ray Breyers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.
Dr. Jason Fung is our guest. He is widely renowned, and I have declared it, so it is true, as the fasting guru. His latest book on the subject is Life in the Fasting Lane. So, Dr. Fung, I eat once a day. I go 23 hours, and then I eat for an hour. Folks will say to me, well, I do 16 hours of not eating, which is they stop eating after dinner, and then they eat again at noon, so they're just skipping breakfast. I have had rapid weight loss, 70 pounds in 7 months, feel better than I've ever felt, have more mental clarity and acuity than I've ever had in my life. It's like, I don't take Adderall, but it's what people tell me Adderall's like. I have focus. I don't have a crash in the afternoon. It is much better the longer the period you can fast, correct?
Yeah, it depends on what you're used to and what you like. So everybody's sort of different. So the one meal a day sort of strategy is actually very, very, like, it's sustainable. Like, for some people, they may not find it sustainable, but if you can find it sustainable, it works well because you skip breakfast, which doesn't tend to be very difficult. And then if you work through lunch, then all of a sudden you're at one meal a day. You just cut up the snacks. So it's not especially difficult. We've all done it. I mean, if you think about a time when you're sort of at work and you're super busy and you work right through lunch because it was so busy, as physicians, we used to do that like all the time during training. We just go right through because we're just slammed. So there's nothing wrong with it. And the longer you go, essentially, you're just giving your body more time in the fasted state, which is that state where you're going to take the energy that you need from your stores, which is sugar. So if you have high blood sugars like type 2 diabetes, for example, you're going to burn up that sugar for energy. And that's great because now you're going to take care of your medical condition, but you're doing it naturally. And then the other major store of energy or calories is body fat. So you're giving your body time to use up your stores of body fat. If you think about it simplistically, it's very simple, right? When you're eating, you're storing calories. When you're not eating or when you're fasting, you're burning calories. So, you know,
Doc, if I can interrupt you, a reader of the book, one of the examples you gave, which was the clearest to me and I've given a lot of other people, is you consider a lion out in the wild, and they're either, you say our bodies are either fasting or feasting. And you talk about what happens when a lion or cheetah, I can't remember which big cat you use, once they take down their prey. And once they do that, then you see them and they look like death. I mean, their body is consuming this. So you use that to talk about how there's feasting and there's fasting, and we're doing one or the other at all times. And when you're feasting, it's taking every bit of energy your body has, and that's exhausting you down, and then you begin living off of that for some period of time. Well, I noticed that when I would eat breakfast and lunch, after those meals, I would crash. I would suffer. I'd come back. That's why people have to have coffee after their lunch. And you talk about you're going to have more clarity the longer you go without eating. And I have experienced that. Like I am much more efficient during this time of day all the way up until 7 p.m. when I eat because I haven't eaten all day. Can you talk a little bit about why that is?
Yeah, and this is one of the big misperceptions of fasting, which is that you're going to be tired or you can't concentrate. In fact, the exact opposite happens. And so if you think about a lion who just eats, he's sleepy and he, you know, just wants to go to sleep because he's trying to digest the food. All the blood goes into the digestive system and so on. When you don't eat, something happens in our bodies, which is that we start to activate other hormonal systems. And this is the sympathetic nervous system. So this is the so-called fight or flight response. So, you know, noradrenaline, for example, is increased during the sympathetic nervous system activation. So when you don't eat, your body actually starts to activate the sympathetic nervous system. So that's giving you energy. It increases these other hormones, which are called counter-regulatory hormones because they come after you don't eat. So they actually start to flood the body with energy. And essentially what you're doing is you're flipping a switch, right? When you eat, the switch is, okay, let's store energy. When you don't eat, you flip that switch and you say, okay, let's release energy. So as you start to release energy, you start to get this boost in things like noradrenaline, which are going to not only give you more energy. So people think you have less energy when you're fasting, but you have more energy, but your mental clarity goes way up. So think about Thanksgiving, for example. You just ate a huge turkey dinner and, you know, stuffing and all this stuff. Like, do you feel super energetic, or do you feel like, you know, just watching some football and that's about it, right? If you think about the wild, like, who's dangerous, that lion who just ate or the hungry wolf, right? The hungry wolf is not lethargic, you know, can't barely move, right? He's zoned in, he's focused, and he's more dangerous than ever. So really, you want to be the hungry wolf. Right. And that's what you get with the fasting. So it doesn't, you know, degrade your concentration. It doesn't make you tired. It actually gives you energy. What you're doing is you're flipping the switch from where that energy comes from. The energy is not coming from the food. All you're doing is you're flipping the switch and saying, I'm going to take my energy from my fat stores. So that's perfect. You have more energy. And at the same time, you're burning off those fat stores that you didn't really want. If you're underweight, of course, then, of course, it's a totally different story. But for those of us who are trying to lose weight, it's an extremely effective way to do it. And everybody who does the fasting is always a little surprised at that, because there's so many people who tell you the opposite. It's like, oh, I have to eat because I have to work. It's like, you're going to work better if you don't eat.
Right.
You know, people say, oh, I have no, I need my energy. It's like, you're going to have more energy. You're just going to take it from those fat stores.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with it, because that's what our body is able to do. It's able to go back and forth between our, you know, using the energy in our food and the energy that we've stored on our body. Right. So just use it. It's energy for you, both the sugar and the fat. That's just energy. So you need to use it. If you eat, you're not going to use it. You're going to store it, so you're going to make that problem worse. So, you know, there's so many benefits of the fasting that people hadn't realized, because the sort of conventional wisdom had actually been the complete opposite, even though we worked out what happens when we don't eat, like, 80 years ago. We've known about the increase in noradrenaline and increase in growth hormone. So growth hormone goes way up when you don't eat, and that's going to help maintain your lean mass. It's going to help maintain your muscle mass and so on. And that's why bodybuilders, for example, as you mentioned, Brad Pilon, have actually been sort of at the forefront of saying, hey, this is actually a way to go. You know, it's actually going to help with your energy, with your concentration, and even with things like muscle growth.
So my urologist, Mohit Khera, who is a dear friend, has been all over your writing since you started. He's a pretty prominent doctor here in Houston. And he's the one that had first told me about intermittent fasting and told me to read your book. And it took me a while to kind of get around to actually doing it. I want to talk coming up, because I only have about a minute here, but I want to talk about your practice and where you... Can you stay with me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I want to talk about your practice, and obviously you were mostly dealing with kidney patients. Has that transitioned over to more of a wellness practice? And then we've got a series of questions from a lot of listeners that are the ones I hear all the time. Should I put cream in my coffee? And I feel like I could answer some of these for you, because they're all segments out of your book, but I will ask you to answer those, and we'll record during the break as well, so I maximize your time. I'd love for you to stay with me another 30 minutes. I don't know if you can do that, but hang tight right now. Dr. Jason Fung is our guest. The book I read was Life in the Fasting Lane, that I received from the recommendation of which I received from my doctor, Mohit Khera, and from Sandy Peterson. Some of y'all will remember several years ago, Sandy lost a lot of weight. We will continue our conversation with Dr. Jason Fung coming up.
The Michael Berry Show.
Dr. Dr. Jason Fung, the intermittent fasting guru, is our guest. Doc, one of the questions I get, and this is an amalgam of many of the questions, is a couple of things. Because coffee, tea, and water have no calories, a lot of people like me, I start the day with hot tea. My wife's from India, so she makes me a chai. I switch over about now to coffee, just black, nothing in it. And then I do a lot of water throughout the day. And I find that when I'm hungry, drinking water, I never thought I'd say this, but drinking water makes me feel very full. And so the more I drink it really fast, so it gives me this awful sensation of being bloated and full, and then I don't want to eat anything at all. But it works. I kind of trick my mind into it. But people ask about vitamin supplements. Is that breaking the fast? Cream in the coffee, is that breaking the fast? Is there a 20-calorie limit? Because your point is, your body has to be either feasting or fasting, and you want it fasting, because it's when it's fasting, every bit of energy you're needing to pull is pulling from your fat reserves, not from what you just ate. So can you talk a little bit about what is and isn't breaking the fast?
Yeah, and that's a great question. So the classic fast is water only, but there's lots of variations on fasting that you can do and still get really great results. So some people think that, oh, as soon as you get that little bit of coffee, because clearly, you know, cream in the coffee is there's calories there, right? But what you're trying to do is you're trying to lower insulin levels, because insulin is that hormone that flips your switch. When it goes very low, that's when you flip into the fasting sort of mode. And when it gets very high, like when you eat, it goes up, it goes into the feeding mode where you're storing calories. If you take a little bit of cream during your fast, it's not like all that, you know, the last 18 hours of fasting goes out the window and all of a sudden you're out. Your insulin is going to blip up a tiny bit, and then it's going to start going back down. So it's like a little temporary, you know, pause, not like, oh, everything's done, you have to start all over again sort of thing. So I wouldn't worry about it. If you put a 20-calorie limit on it, no problem. It's just going to, you know, if you have an 18-hour fast and, you know, for say 20 minutes, 15 minutes, you went into a bit of a pause and then you started to go back down, your weight started to go back down again, what's the big deal, right? It's not like you've lost all the progress you've made up to that point. So taking a little bit of cream in the coffee is not a big deal. When you start to take more substantial amounts, of course, then you're sort of moving back into that feeding mode. And a lot of these people do very well with cream in the coffee, because if those little sort of breaks, if they allow you to do the fasting easier, well, when it's easier, you're going to be able to sustain it for longer. So those are totally fine. People do great with those. Some people use bone broth, which is the same thing. And, you know, the other resource I'll just point out is I have a lot of these videos on YouTube, and they're all free, and you can just watch them whenever you want, about things like questions like this about what breaks the fast and variations of fasting.
All right, so that was somebody who said, talking about diabetes, lots of folks with diabetes, full-blown type 2 diabetes, emailing in and asking questions about that. Can they go this long without eating? I guess that would kind of be the general question. How long is it safe for them to do that if they're full-blown type 2 diabetes?
So one of the things is that if you're on medication, you must talk to your doctors, because the medications that are prescribed based on your current sort of dietary pattern. When you don't eat, your blood sugars are going to come down because your body's going to burn them off. And if you're on medication, that same dose of medications, you know, the fasting is going to lower your sugars, your medication is going to lower your sugars, and you may go too low. So you always have to be safe and talk to your doctor about it. But in terms of type 2 diabetes, people used to say, oh, you can't fast. But really, the key is that you have to adjust that medication. There's no upper limit. So if you take somebody who has, you know, say they're not, assuming they're not underweight, for example, but they have adequate fat stores and so on, your blood sugar doesn't actually ever go down. So if you fast for 20 hours or even if you fast for 3-4 days, your blood glucose is not going to drop too low. If it drops too low, it usually means that you're taking too much medications. So there's no upper limit, but 24 hours fasting a day. I wrote a paper a few years ago about how people reversed their entire type 2 diabetes, got off all their medications just using a similar regimen to what you're doing, which is one meal a day.
And you're co-author of the book, one of the two women, I can't remember, I think one of them was a patient, and one of them, it's been 6 months since I read it, but I think the other one was a nurse or someone who worked with you. One of them came completely off of their medication.
Yeah. It was not just the type 2 diabetes, but also polycystic ovary syndrome. So there's various conditions there which are related to weight, fatty liver as well, that all got better.
Let me read this email from Joanne. She says, Czar, please note that intermittent fasting is not just for losing weight. I have high cholesterol, and my doctor told me that fasting has proven to bring it down. I just started, so I don't have any results yet, but I'm hoping I will. My cardiologist, Dr. Stan Dukeman, he's a big intermittent faster, and he's a big believer in it. So my urologist and my cardiologist, different schools of thought, different areas of expertise, and both of them believe it's fantastic for you.
Yeah, there's actually huge amounts of benefit. There's some data showing that people who do fasting on a regular basis might have less risk of heart disease, for example. And it's not so hard to imagine. I mean, you know, in this day and age, we suffer from conditions where we sort of have excess energy, right? Too much sugar, too much body fat, right? Which leads to other conditions like heart conditions, strokes, cancer, that kind of thing. So if you have a situation where you have excess energy, because that's what calories are, right? Then anything that's going to use up those calories, such as intermittent fasting, are a benefit. You might say exercise does the same thing because exercise also uses energy, but it turns out that it's a much less efficient way to do it. If you think about the number of calories that people burn in a day, if we say it's about 2,000 calories a day, that's the calories it takes just to generate body heat and, you know, make sure your liver's working, your kidneys are working, and that kind of thing. Well, if you walk like 45 minutes a day, you're using maybe 100, 150 calories, as opposed to simply not eating. And there's,
Doc, can you hold with us for one more segment?
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Jason Fung, intermittent fasting guru, is our guest. Hang tight.
Michael Berry Show. The Michael Berry Show.
Nice, Ramon. Very clever. It's the Jason Fung Show with your moderator, Michael Berry. Doc, couple of questions. I got about four or five, so I'm gonna cut you short on a couple of these. Several folks say that what happened to them is what happened to Ramon, our producer. Guy says, I've been fasting since February for 18 to 20 hours, 7 days a week. I've lost 65 pounds, but now I've hit a plateau. What can I do to push through this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it really comes to your body starting to get used to it, so you're hitting a plateau. So there's a few things that you can do. One is to really look at the foods that you're eating. Maybe you're starting to become a little too lenient, trying to eat unprocessed foods, cutting down the sugars and that kind of thing. So the other thing is to change up that fasting. And it sort of throws our body sort of out of rhythm so that you can break out of this rut. So there's a few things that you can do. You can either try a stricter fast, that is, or you can try a longer fast, or you can try fasting more frequently. It's just to break things up a little bit, and sometimes that's what you need to do. So, for example, you could even take a break from the fasting and really focus on eating healthy foods. Like not, again, eating 10 times a day, but like 2 to 3 times a day, getting back and then going back into it. And sometimes that's just enough to sort of break you out. The other thing to look at is the other things other than the diet that might be slowing you down. And sleep is probably the biggest one that we see. If you're not getting enough sleep, you're putting stress on the body. And sometimes that stress is going to put on weight. We know that stress puts on weight for a lot of people. So stress, if you're in a very stressful situation, you might have to deal with that stress. And that's something like sometimes it's yoga, sometimes it's meditation, sometimes it's exercise. And then getting back into a really good sleeping habit are the sort of non-dietary things that often trip people up.
From my perspective, I was dehydrated, so hydrating, just constant hydration and getting sufficient sleep were a huge part of this for me. Timothy Ferris, in his book, The 4-Hour Body, I don't know if you read it, but one of the things he tells folks, and he's a workout nut, is if you're trying to cut weight, if you're really trying to lose weight, then exercising is not going to burn as many calories as it makes you eat to compensate. Do you have a thought on that? Because I've exercised throughout this, even during 48-hour and 72-hour, I've done multiple workouts, and I felt great, and I cut weight a lot faster. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he's absolutely right. And the thing is that there's something called compensation. When you do studies on exercise, it's always less effective for weight loss than you think. And it's due to this effect called compensation, which is that as you exercise more, you tend to eat more. And therefore, you're going to negate some of the weight loss effects of exercise. So you can actually combine them very effectively by doing something called training in the fasted state. So essentially, you don't eat for a period of time, and then you work out, and then you eat. And that actually maximizes a few things. First, if you think about the hormones that are happening in your body during fasting, you're increasing growth hormone, increasing noradrenaline. So you're actually going to work out better because you have a higher level of energy and noradrenaline. Then as you recover, you know, when your muscles are recovering, trying to rebuild, your growth hormone is high, and then you're going to eat sort of, you know, protein-rich foods and so on, and then you're going to rebuild. So you're going to actually work out harder, you're going to recover faster, and you've also got that fasting period to do the energy for you. So it's actually, you can combine them in a very effective way, and that seems to work out for people. But exercise is very inefficient for weight loss. That's the big problem.
It's good for long-term health, but if you're trying to cut weight, I want to make sure people understand that. I started slowing down my weight loss at one point, so I went from the 24 hours or 23 hours to 48, and I realized 48 wasn't any harder for me than 24, and then I went to 72, and people would say to me, aren't you cranky, aren't you? And I found that it's kind of like when you have to pee real, real bad, and you think you got to pee so bad you can't stand it, and an important call comes in or something comes up, and then you get distracted. And then you realize, I forgot I needed to pee. But I thought 10 minutes ago. I have found that once I get through that 24 hours, 48 or 72 is not a problem. I lose the desire to eat. Is that?
Oh, that is actually a well-documented scientific phenomenon. Because, that ghrelin, which is that hunger hormone, what happens when you study people who are fasting for 5 days is that it peaks sort of at 24 to 48 hours and then starts to drop. So your hunger actually starts to go down as your body is using your body fat. Remember, it's not starving. It's feeding itself from your body fat stores, right? Just like if you take food from the fridge, you're not depriving yourself. You're just using food from the fridge instead of from the supermarket. But as you go longer and longer, you find that the hunger actually starts to go down. And that's the secret of how people used to do these 30-day fasts and so on. People say, how can you do that? It's like, it's because your body is fueling itself normally and the hunger is gone. So, you know, what else is there? Like, you know, you don't say to somebody, wow, I can't believe you didn't go to the supermarket 3 times a day. It's like, yeah, I have a refrigerator, you know. It's the same thing. Your body's like, yeah, I have body fat, you know. Like, what's the big deal? So the point is that decreased hunger is a huge benefit, because if people are struggling to lose weight and then you know that, hey, if I just push through, this 24-hour period, I can go sort of as long as I want and still keep losing weight, and I'm still going to be healthy because I'm losing the weight. And yet it's going to be easier than ever, because that 24-hour period where you don't have hunger burns as many calories as the first 24 hours where you did have some hunger.
Do you achieve exponential growth or exponential weight loss? You know, the first 24 hours, this is what you're doing, and that next 48 hours is even higher, or is it just consistent across that
time? It's pretty consistent across. The first 24, 48 hours, you actually get more weight loss because of the associated water loss. So what happens, and this is important to know, is that the average weight loss per day of fasting is about a half a pound per day. So, you know, a pound of fat is roughly 3,600 calories. If you eat 1,800 calories, that's about a half a pound of body fat per day. If you start fasting, what you'll notice is that the first few days, you know, the first 24 hours, you might lose like a pound and a half. The thing is that as you eat again, you gain a pound of that. So people say, oh, I just wasted my time. It's like, no, you should have expected that, because if you lose a pound and a half and regain a pound, that's net negative half a pound, which is exactly what you would have expected. So, the weight is pretty consistent per day. It's about a half a pound, but there's always these wide fluctuations based on water weight. So people will go, say, 4 days, and they'll lose like 8 pounds. right? 2 pounds a day, but most of that was water. Mm. So then they'll be like, oh, so happy they lost the 8 pounds, and then they'll regain six of that because for 4 days of fasting, you should really expect about 2 pounds. And then they'll be discouraged because they're like, oh, I just regained 6 pounds. It's like, no, just keep in mind where you are. So that's where having a bit of knowledge about fasting and a bit of experience is really helpful, because then you can say, hey, you're right on track. Don't worry about it.
Dr. Jason Fung, I'm up against a break. You are a fantastic guest. I love your book, Life in the Fasting Lane. Buy it, read it, folks. We'll have you back. I would love that. Coming up, we will talk to the daughter of the Vietnamese-American family that were shot execution style, and their killers, now one of the three has been released, the other two about to be. Her thoughts, you can imagine, on that coming up.
I am an addictive personality, and so I fear things to which I could become addicted, like gambling or prescription drugs. But I want to sleep better, and I want to ache less. Try, as I do, thetrustedlab.com, delivered to your home. Texas-based, completely legal CBD that has given me great results. Thetrustedlab.com.